All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you back with us? Let me just confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
Ah, perfect.
We made it.
We are.
The hardest part.
We are set and ready to roll for our media bids power hour. Tell us about our thank you to all of you and each of you as we're getting settled in. Thank you for being here. And we have a wonderful program that we're going to share with you today. As we're getting settled in, we always are going to encourage you to find a quiet spot, close your office door, turn off whatever electronics need to be, so you can really focus on the information, the tools, the ideas, the strategies that we're going to be working with you on here as well. In addition, any questions that you have along the way, please just send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com or simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here. And we will tuck your questions in. For many of you that have already shared your questions, we have those on the screen, and we hope that we'll be able to cover most or all of them during the course of the hour here together. With me is Jed, the founder and the CEO of MediaBids, and MediaBids provides a wonderful service in our media space. Jed, how about some opening words? Tell us a little bit about what's cooking around MediaBids, what's been going on over the last several weeks and several months. Give us an update of what's cooking, and then I'll say a few opening words, and we're going to then talk about what keeps us green and growing today.
All right, great. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. Ernest is the best in the business. He knows an enormous amount about how publications can generate revenue and continue to grow. I always learn a lot from these teleseminars. I'm sure you will too. But I encourage you to investigate some of the other venues that he uses to disperse his knowledge, because he really is really does know what he's talking about. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we are a company that is devoted entirely to generating revenue for print publications. We do it in a variety of different ways, both conventional ad sales as well as response-based ad sales. We work with about 10,000 publications, and we just made a deal with the Associated Press where we're going to be working with them and a large group of their member publications to help them generate revenue as well. So we're always looking for ways to grow the revenue generated by print publications. We do a lot of it in print. We do some of it in the other offerings that publications have, things like, you know, websites and newsletters. But the vast majority of our revenue comes from actual print. So if you would like to learn more about what we do, please feel free to give us a call. If you're currently using us, thank you. And I will turn it back over to Ernest. But thanks
Beautiful.
For joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thanks, Jed. And for so many of you who work already with Jed and MediaBids, you know the wonderful reputation, the wonderful additional revenue they bring, the impressive array of advertisers that they work with. So certainly you already know what they do. And for those of you who are with us today that are not currently working with MediaBids, we encourage you to take a look at their website, reach out to Jed and their team, and see the wonderful success formula they have for bringing revenue and wonderful advertisers to your media solutions. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, launching three of my own publications, was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. Today, we've coached and guided more than 2,500 ad sales companies and their teams all over the world. In fact, in 13 time zones over the last 22 years, and more recently during the months of April and May, we're actually traveling to see many of our clients throughout the United States and also in the UK as well. So thank you so much for joining us. And as Jed mentioned, yes, we do put on a wonderful Ad Sales Academy. every Tuesday. And if you simply come in to our powerhour.com site, you can see more about that. So, Jed, we're going to talk today about our ad sales formula and what keeps us green and growing, not red and ripe. Maybe we should talk about green and growing and red and ripe to explain that before we get started. Would that make sense?
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm not a gardener, but I understand the metaphor.
Very good. But I know you play chess, no doubt. And those pieces are just the white pieces and the black pieces. But we're talking about the greens and the reds.
right.
So just so all of you know, Jed is a masterful chess player. So if you ever get the opportunity, he will play with you. It might be a short window because he is very good. So green and growing and red and ripe is a metaphor. For green and growing means we're always learning, right? We're always keeping things fresh. We're taking every single day like a new day, right? And the opposite, if we're not green and growing, is we're red and ripe. We're burnt out, we're fatigued, we're drained, you know, things aren't going well. It's a little bit that the metaphor of is the glass half full or half empty, right? It's sort of our state of mind and our perspective when we think about our ad sales, whether we're talking about ad sales in print, in our newsletters, on our website, whatever that may be. Green and growing is always that fresh approach from that perspective. And so what we're going to talk about today is how to stay fresh and keep it fresh. That's going to be the perspective. And before we go into some of those strategies and then also field some of the questions that have come in, we're going to first start by talking about some of the challenges and obstacles in ad sales, okay? Because, you know, certainly, this is, you know, we have to generally start on the one side to say, hey, where are we at? So that we're clear if that's where we're at, then the opposite is true. That what do we need to do to stay green and growing, never red and ripe? So the first part is just to remember that people buy from people. Nothing's ever changed in sales. Nothing's ever changed in ad sales and media sales. For example, if you were trying to reach out to Pete Smith, a buyer in California, didn't know anything about Pete Smith, had never had built a relationship and had no reason to know anything about Pete Smith, you could probably call and email and knock on Pete Smith's door for the next 5 years, and you're not going to get a response. But if I sent a text, because I've known Pete Smith for 30 years, I can literally send a text to Pete Smith and be able to get a response probably in 5 minutes or less. Book an appointment, book a meeting, and be up and running. Okay, so Jed, when we think about that, right, you probably have your own stories and examples of those you can reach out to that are very responsive to you and would respond quickly to something that you might send to them, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone does, right? If you, it always works better when you are approaching someone you know or approaching someone you know knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly correct. So when we think about, you know, the relationships, nothing's ever changed. Yes, we have more media solutions than ever before, and that's sort of our next point. That, you know, on some level, there is more noise in the marketplace, right? Ad buyers, ad agencies, ad decision makers have more choices than ever before. And in light of those choices, our role is to do what? Get above the noise and show the value that we bring in our media solutions. And Jed, for all the years that you've been around media, that I've been around media combined, what, 50 plus years, the truth is that's always been the case, right? Advertisers have always had a variety of solutions or choices, and we've always had to say, here's why my media brings results, will make you happy, is a good decision, and it will bring a nice return on investment. That formula has never changed, correct?
Right. It's, you know, and I think that, you know, the way that advertisers look at it hasn't changed much either. You know, that we, you know, maybe now there's more data points to look at, but it's always been the same basic equation. You know, is do other people I know, are they doing well with it? Am I likely to do well with it? And is it worth the risk?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So if you, in the early days, if you were selling me an ad in a phone directory or a newspaper or a direct mail campaign or whatever it was in the earlier days when there were fewer media choices, right? you know, I still had to, you would still have to do the same thing. Justify to me why it makes sense. If I give you $1, will you give me back $3 in results? Gee, if I put my ad in there, will there be other attorneys like me in there? Oh, wait a minute. I see every attorney. I guess I should be there, or every realtor, or every car dealership, whatever that might be. So for each of us and all of us, we still have the same basic dimensions of what? Showing value, right? Then the next piece, which of course I know is your favorite, which is we have to track and measure the results. We have to validate that not only is that ad campaign running, but then we also have to validate the challenges and obstacles for us in media sales continues to be and has always been before the ability to actually track a click or to complete a form or to track a phone call. You had to have some tracking conversation, right? Otherwise, an advertiser would say, yes, I put an ad in. Gee, I don't really know. No, thanks. I'm not going to renew. And we were left standing there saying, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you'll come back sooner or later. Those days are long over, and probably for the last 15 plus years or more, all we've talked about is the importance of tracking, measuring, and knowing what that ROI is. And Jed, of course, that's very near and dear to the campaigns that you roll along with at MediaBids, yes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we do an enormous amount of tracking here. What we primarily do is track based on phone numbers, but we also track based on URLs and in some cases text messaging. And what it's good for is it gives us the ability to determine exactly how an ad is producing. We can see, you know, the differences in effectiveness of different ads, different variables, size of ad, color of ad, you know, where the ad is positioned in a publication. And, you know, Ernest sort of teased me up for this because he knows it's my sort of, I'm contractually bound to sort of give this 1 minute speech in every teleseminar, no matter what the topic. We could be talking about, you know, colors or something. I can find a way to talk about phone tracking, and because I really believe that for every publication, it is extremely critical to gather information on the effectiveness of the ads that you're running, and to be able to use that in a way to sell back to your advertisers, not in the sense that you're charging them for that specifically, but you're able to go to them and say this is what our publication produced for you. This is how many phone calls you got. Based on the close rate that we've talked about prior to the ad running, I know that, you know, it could be, you know, 10%, 20%, 50% of the calls that come in turn into sales. You know, or for example, in a retail setting, you know, you told me, you know, for every one call you get three people who walk in the door. So, you know, you can make assumptions based on results, even if you don't have hard data on sales, and those assumptions are very, very valuable, and it completely changes the way that advertisers, how you interact with advertisers, because no longer are you sort of going to them hoping that they're going to buy an ad, giving them good reasons to, but at the end of the day, asking them to sort of assume risk, which they see as being something they're not likely to make money on. You're giving them data and showing them that they can make money, that your publication is producing results for them. And that, you know, in today's world with more and more internet-based advertising medium is out there, that's what they're all doing. And so this really allows you to compete, and it allows you to put the shoe on the other foot and really sell to your advertisers in a different way. So it's easy to do, and we strongly recommend it.
And not only does Jed strongly recommend it, but we strongly recommend it and have for at least 15 plus years. So there's nothing new for any of us and for those that we coach and that we work with having these conversations about it. Other obstacles and challenges, and that is a real need to know and own our space and sector. Now, for those of you who have niche and specialty publications, you know, you're focused on mining and energy or RVs or snowmobiles or senior communities, automotive, realtors, whatever the category may be, to absolutely own it and know it, to know everybody in the space, to get above that noise, to really be positioned as a thought leader. These are the challenges and obstacles, because if we just approach our sector and we're just out selling ads, it's just not enough. It never has been, but certainly today, we just don't have that industry credibility and respect, which then ties into our media kit, our media presentation. When given those opportunities, another challenge is to do what? Position ourselves above the best and above the rest. Why you? Why am I going to give you $1 or one ad or one campaign and remove the others? Why am I even going to give you anything at all? You've got to make certain that you have a compelling story. And we'll talk a little bit more about turning the diamond and, you know, related to that. And then, of course, the other obstacles and challenges, you know, is that we have competitors in the marketplace, right? And we have comparisons. We talk about that in our Tuesday Academies. We talk about it here over all the years that Jed and I have worked together with all of you once a month as we come here and we have these conversations, is that side-by-side media comparison, that ability to compare you versus your competitors in a very specific, timely, and accurate way that shows what you bring different versus your competitors. So on one side, our media kit showcases what we do and where we're excellent, and then our media comparisons show where we're different. These are the areas of challenges and obstacles and when we're driving our sales, because in varying levels, you know, those of you that are doing it well, those that we've worked with over the years that we also work in our Tuesday Academies, you know that this is the cornerstone. For those of you that are here today, that maybe this is your first time joining one of our MediaBits Power Hour, or maybe you don't have all those pieces in place, then quite honestly, it can be more and more difficult to build your campaigns, to build the bundles of ad campaigns, to be able to validate the work you're doing and in order to drive your sales. So look, we want to put this on the table that there are a wide variety of challenges, and what we then say is, now is that challenge or is that obstacle a pebble, a boulder, or, you know, Mount Everett? How big is it? And let's sift and sort that out and determine what it is we're going to be doing from that perspective. Jed, any additional comments related to those points before we go forward?
No, I think, it's, you know, everything you mentioned is right on. I mean, I think it's critical mm-hmm. to, you know, to gather the information, and it's, it can make an enormous difference in how you sell.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And so when we think about this piece, the second part of our conversation, before we go down the path of staying always green and growing, is to then think about, you know, so how do we, you know, how do we stay fresh in our sector, right? When we think about the ad buyers that we meet with, the ad agencies, how do we stay fresh and how do we stay current? And so the areas related to this is that in the space and in the sectors that we work in, especially when you're in a niche space and category, in that particular case, everything that moves, just like if I'm selling ads to RV dealers, everything that moves, it's as though I'm sitting in the RV dealer's desk, or I'm sitting in on their marketing meetings. What are they reading? What are they following? What is the new news? What could potentially hurt the RV sector? What could be very positive? How do I compete if I'm an RV dealer with the other dealers? And these are all the things that I'd be thinking about if I'm thinking about ad sales. Now, for those of you that asked the question related to if you're selling newspaper or directory or business journal, you have what? You have a broader array of categories, and then you've got to do what? Pick and choose. You've got to pause and go, look, these are the 10 categories that we're driving 80% of our revenue, so that's what you have to absolutely own and stay current on. And then you pause and say, okay, but Ernest, hang on, but there's three other categories that have the most potential, or maybe my competitor is getting more ad sales from that, so we don't want to lose sight of that category or those sectors, and the answer is that is correct. So staying and being current is part of being fresh, because it's also invigorating because you know you're on the pulse of what's happening in the space and sector. You know you can talk to an advertiser, an agency about it, or a prospective advertiser, and that part is certainly important. But there is another principle here, and we call that turning the diamond just 2 degrees. And when we turn the diamond 2 degrees, selling stays fun, stays fresh. Why is that? Because maybe there's new data we have. For example, maybe we've just completed a readership survey. Maybe we're excited about the ad results this month because compared to last month, they're up 12%. But in the first quarter compared to last quarter, we're up 78%. That's what we call turning the diamond 2 more degrees and looking at it a little bit differently. Maybe there's new distribution or CERC information. Maybe your online footprint. Maybe the work that's been done on the digital side has raised your search engine rankings, has increased the velocity of leads coming in for you, has positioned you in front of competitors. And in doing so, that becomes another one of those opportunities. Maybe you have an ad campaign, an ad bundling campaign of print, newsletter, and website that you can talk about that you're seeing increases of ROI, increases of leads, clicks, phone calls that are all being tracked, and you're feeling good about that story. These are those opportunities to turn the diamond 2 more degrees and keep a fresh attitude. And it's always looking for those little pieces that you sort of go, wow, that's a biggie. We were working, Jed, with a client last year, and we were talking to them about some of their competitors. And they say, hey, look, here's how we go out to the market, either controlled CERC or free CERC. But one of our competitors goes out and their paid circulation. And we were, kind of bantering about, the implication of paid is that, maybe 70 or 75% is wasted. And they were like, wow, that would be a campaign all by itself. We'll have a picture of a shredder and a shredding machine shredding all the magazines that are coming through, with the visual that when we sell against that competitor, we sort of pull that picture out and that visual out and say, did you know that, that 70 or 75% of your ad dollars went right in that shredder? And that became the genesis for that particular campaign. So, Jed, these are the kinds of things that when we think about keeping it fresh, we keep looking for those ever-changing data points or stats or graphs or charts that help us go back out and sell ads in a fresh and new way. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I would just add to it, and it may be sort of obvious, but it's very rare, extremely rare, for any advertiser in any medium, and I mean online, radio, television, I don't care what it is, it's very rare for any advertiser to just sort of sit back and say, everything that happened last month was great. If I could only just do exactly what I did last month, next month, I'd be really happy. I mean, I think most people believe that they want things to get better. Even if they've had success, they have the expectation that, next month's going to be better than this month, and next year things are going to be a lot better than this year, type of thing. And so I think that by continuing to show your customers how you're growing, right, and how you're changing, and how you're adapting to different whether it's different competitors or different technologies, whatever it may be, that really goes a long way, I think, to sort of feeding into where I think most business people are, and that is, how am I going to do better next month than I'm doing this month? Because I think they're looking for that. I think they're looking for progress.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And Jed, that sort of dovetails into the next piece about staying fresh, because the things that are changing out in the world, when we watch what's happening with Twitter, with Facebook, with Google, when we watch when we hear the word throttling around Facebook several years ago, we watch the changes that they're doing, when we watch the different shifts that Google is making, for example, with maps and reviews. Here's one that we just spotted in the last 45 days. So when you come in and do a Google search, I want to buy, flowers in Toledo, you get the little map, which, by the way, doesn't always show up. and then you get your organic listings, you get your paid listings. Well, just a little nuance, and this is important because it relates to media sales. There's a change now. When you click on the map, it gives you the opportunity to sort. You can sort by prices and ranges of flowers. You can sort now by the hours that they're open. You can sort by the relevancy, which is not really a defined term, but Google is calling relevancy. Don't know what the algorithm is for that. But the one that they do sort by is reviews and the rating scores that those flower shops have received. Now, this is the kind of news not only do we stay fresh on, that we stay current, but staying, you know, following along with what's happening on that side, we do bump into those objections. Gee, I'm out doing my own social media. Yes, that's my flower shop. And look at all the wonderful posts on my Facebook, or look how we use Twitter, or look how we use blogging, LinkedIn, Google, whatever it might be, you know. But by us staying current as media sales professionals, it means that we know what's going on, that you can talk about the changes in what's going on with reviews, reputation management, why ads are getting throttled or why posts are getting throttled on Facebook, for example. You know, by staying current with these things, then we're able to, as ad sales professionals, A, be knowledgeable, B, be a thought leader and show that we're staying current, and then C, be able to show what's happening and why this version of do-it-yourself is not so easy and doesn't work so successfully. Oftentimes, Jed will be talking about, you know, the advertisers, the flower shops that say, look at all the wonderful likes on my Facebook page. And we'll say, that's interesting. And yes, we can see you're making a daily post, but do you notice that you don't see any comments from those who have that have liked your page? And they're like, yeah, that is interesting. Why is that? And then you go on to explain the reason why. And it does work different. When you post something on your personal account, even that gets throttled with Facebook's algorithm. And you sort of pause and go, wow, if I've got 400 friends, how come, you know, three people liked it? Well, there's another level of responsiveness that you'll notice between the difference when you post a picture versus when you post a video. Go, oh, that's interesting. When I post a video, I get more juice and more credit. Yes, you do. On Facebook, because that's another shift in their algorithms. So these are the kinds of things you pause and say, well, on one level, what does that mean for our media group and what we might do on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook? How does that reward us on the organic side? And then the other side, what does that mean to our advertisers? So much of what we're talking about staying fresh and current, also means we have to think about how those media outlets also impact us from a media standpoint. One of the best places that I find to stay current on this is TechCrunch. TechCrunch does a wonderful job sharing updates over the course of a day, keeping track of this kind of news. And this kind of news, Jed, we've also now been incorporating into our media presentations because it shows ad buyers and it shows ad agencies that we not only are we current, but that we understand the impact of what's happening in the rest of the media world, and then we can bring it back why our media solutions solve those problems or generate the ROI. Does that make sense, Jed, from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, especially as people who are coming from the print world, I think that being up on this stuff is really important because no one gives us the benefit of the doubt for understanding any of this stuff. So I think that's
right.
I think that you know if you're from an internet based company and you are talking about even the most basic things, I think everyone assumes that you're extremely knowledgeable about sort of all things tech. But I think that coming from the print world, you have sort of a built-in hurdle. But it's certainly not a hurdle that can't be overcome. It just, you know, it's just like Ernest says, it can go a long way to you know, if you're up on this stuff, it can help quite a bit.
Absolutely. And make no mistake, the tech side of the house is only one piece of the story. As you've heard Jed speak repeatedly over years and years talking about the difference between the performance of a digital ad versus the performance of a print ad. I don't want to skip over that piece. We have a whole host of teleseminars you can go back and re-listen to related to the stats and the data and the confirmation and the affirmation of the power of print, okay? And then, Jed, I know, like I do as well on Twitter, we post articles, and like MediaBid does as well, and I know we move things back and forth when we see interesting news about the performance of print. By no means are we ever stepping away from print and the success of what it brings, and leading ad buyers and key ad agencies know what the difference is. And Jed, I know you've shared the way ad buyers come to you and say, I want print and I'll pay more for print than digital based on that. You want to just say just a couple of words about that? I know we've had entire teleseminars just based on that topic.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that's really interesting in today's world is that you know, the quick evolution of things has been that it used to be that anyone buying an ad had to be willing to assume the risk on their own, which meant that they were buying space in a newspaper, buying time on radio, buying time on television, and none of those media outlets had any sort of insight, nor did they particularly care whether or not that advertiser got any results at all for the money that they were spending. And then along came, you know, AdWords and Yahoo and pay-per-click sort of became an extremely common way of looking at the world. And so, you know, then advertisers kind of flocked to this idea that I don't have to pay unless something good happens, right? I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to pay Google anything unless I get a click, right? And so for many years, that was really hard to overcome. Right, it was, you know, and by extension, things like Groupon sort of caught on. Right, you know, for example, with Groupon, you know, the deal was, hey, you know, you sell pizzas, just give us pizzas at 50% off, and we'll make it so 1,000 people walk into your pizza place this weekend. Right, and so, you know, as a pizza place owner, you're thinking to yourself, well, that's a pretty good deal, right? What risk do I really have? Because I know that my costs aren't that high, so I'm going to take advantage of all of these kinds of risk-free advertising. And then, you know, as more and more advertisers got exposed to that, you know, the natural evolution has been that advertisers are starting to look more closely at really what those responses generate in revenue. And so that's where we come in, because what we can see based on our phone tracking is that and what advertisers tell us is that the results that print generates is incredibly more valuable than much more valuable than the results that are generated online and through places like Groupon, because what happens is those are all really good for generating a lot of response, right? If you're looking for 1,000 people to visit your website tomorrow, you're much better off putting an ad in AdWords than you are in the local newspaper. However, if you're looking for people to buy as a result of that ad, you're much better off with an ad in a local newspaper, because the response rate that we see with our advertisers is much lower than online, but the close rate, the number of people who are calling or responding to a website who actually make a purchase, is about 35, depending on the product, between about 35 and as high as 50%. So that means that half of every single person who sees an ad picks up the phone, reaches an operator, ends up making a sale. The people who make those sales through print also are much more likely to spend more, and they're more likely to stick around longer. So they're more likely to become customers that last years instead of days. So these are all factors which allow us at MediaBiz, and I believe really anyone in print, to compete with advertisers who are moving away from conventional media and or have moved away from conventional media. And the reason it allows you to compete is essentially it's cutting edge, right? In 5 years from now, 2 years from now, there won't be such a thing as pay-per-click, right? What it's all going to be is pay-per-sale, because that's what advertisers want. The least risk possible. So companies like Google are starting to get squeezed, and as they get squeezed, they're going to move more and more towards a sale-based platform. And as that happens, print becomes, and it has always been this way, but it's just harder to show it unless you're tracking. But print becomes more and more attractive because print is really, really good at generating sales. I think it's just the nature of sort of how people interact with the product, the fact that people are spending time with an ad before they respond, as opposed to TV or radio or the internet, where it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Well, that looks interesting, I'll click on it. Oh, mm-hmm. that sounds good, mm-hmm. I'll call. You know, but people in print, you know, put the paper aside. Maybe they don't call that same day. They call when they have time. You know, they're more likely to buy. And so that's a really, really valuable thing. And more and more advertisers are starting to realize that that's an incredibly valuable sort of asset that the medium has. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I packed a lot into that.
No.
Serves you right for asking me a question.
that's also part. No, hang on. That's what keeps us what? Green and going, never red and ripe, the reality of where we are today. And that part about pay per sale is very interesting. And all of you need to hear that over all the years I've worked together with Jed, and Jed and I have worked together around these topics. I've never heard him say it as definitive as I've heard today. I feel like, Jed, you sort of put a stake in the ground and you said, pay per sale. And I know we've worked around this, but today you sort of said, this is the future, and I think we should all pay attention to what Jed is saying.
Because I'll just give you one example. I mean, and I may have given this example before in a teleseminar. One of our clients is Pro Flowers, and we ran an ad for them on Google's mobile ad service. They wanted to try it as an experiment, so we ran an ad for them on a company called AdMob, which is one of the biggest mobile ad serving companies out there. We received about 50,000 phone calls from our ad in AdMob. 50,000 phone calls before 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 days before Valentine's Day, right? Prime time for selling flowers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
50,000 calls. We had 3 sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. We had 3 sales. 3 people out of 50,000 bought. Now, the truth is, I think that out of those 50,000 phone calls, I think probably about 49,900 of them were people who didn't intend to call, who either they were trying to click off the ad, or they stuffed their phone in their pocket, or who the heck knows, right? But we made no sales. So ProFlowers spent probably about $15,000 on that ad campaign. It might have been more, maybe closer to $20,000 on that ad campaign. And they generated about $60 in revenue, right? As opposed to, you know, a print ad, right? Which I don't have to tell people on the call some of the economics of that. But I guarantee you that they wouldn't have spent $15,000 on a print ad. And it would have generated, you know, a multiple of that $60. So, you know, mm-hmm. so for Pro Flowers, right, the idea that we can get phone calls incredibly cheaply by running an ad through this mobile phone server was attractive. But the end result was that it was disastrous. And I really don't think that that their experience is unique. I've talked to enough people, and I know enough people who run those types of ads to know that they say it just doesn't work, right? Unless you're just looking for numbers, it doesn't work at all. And so, so if you're an advertiser like ProFlowers, right, you sit back and you say to yourself, well, okay, if we're ever going to try that again, ever, we're never going to pay per call. We're never going to pay for delivery, right? All we're willing to pay for is sales because frankly, there's just too much risk, right? We don't think that it works very well. Now, compare that to, you know, to a print ad where, you know, where the risk, you know, there's still risk, but the risk is lower in comparison to what they sort of know they're going to get in return. And that's why I think that when you look at industries like mobile, they're sort of built on this extremely high level of expected, fraud is probably too strong a word, but mistakes, right? They know that an extremely high number of people who are going to be responding actually have no intention to respond at all, but that's okay because they sort of still get paid for it. I think that as time goes on, that begins to get really old with advertisers, and that's why I think that all of these mediums will end up moving to a more straight kind of per sale formula because there's just advertisers just demand it.
Yeah, they're valid points, and hopefully, as you're listening to Jed walk through the economic component here, it's spurring and stirring your thinking. That's always our goal when you come in and out of any of our educational programs. We want to stir your thinking, spur your thinking, stretch the possibilities, and you're always our focus here is always help you with the tools, the techniques, the strategies that give you a competitive advantage. So the third piece that we promise to come around and address in the way of, you know, thinking about green and growing and red and ripe, let's go down that path. What is our ad sales formula, right? And one of the first things that we've learned along the way is that ad sales reps need wins. We want you to close new biz day in, day out, making it, you know, your ad sales part of your success formula on a daily basis. One of those things, all right, is that we want you to think about the balance of accounts. In other words, the small ad campaigns, the medium to large, those particular areas, when we think about how much time you're focusing, we all want the large campaigns. The medium, of course, come in nicely. The smaller ones along the way. It depends on where you are. You know, if you're a senior ad sales professional, you're working generally on medium to large, but you know the larger ones can take a longer period of time. If you're newer to ad sales, you're working on the small and the medium, and maybe you have some large, right? So watch to see the balance from that perspective. Also, another way to keep things fresh, get passionate about the ad drop reports of your direct competitors. Take a look at what that report shows. How many advertisers went up this month compared to last month? How many dropped? How many scaled their ads down? How many grew their ads campaigns? I mean, it's a beautiful place to have a fresh perspective every 30 days to be excited about what's going on with competitors and then use that to convert that into an action game plan for what you're going to do from a selling perspective. Now, here's a little caveat, though, about these ad drop reports, because then I'll come in and say, now, listen, you've got, you know, 50 advertisers, but how many of those prospects are in one of your competitors, two of your competitors, or three of your competitors? And I've sometimes had the response of, hey, I've got my 50, but I just identified 120. Real story, 120 that are in two or more of my competitors. So, you know, this isn't an opportunity not only to keep it fresh, but to keep it real from that perspective, okay? So utilize these ad drop reports. They're your friend. They're intended to be an opportunity to very, very quickly see what's happening with your competitors. And we've done entire educational teleseminars about the ad drop approach. And for those of you who work with us on the Academy, at least once a year, we revisit this strategy. There's so much there. Also, in order to stay fresh and on top of your game, you want to continue to approach each day as a problem solver. Listen to when Jed was talking about pro flowers. Listen to the examples and the understanding about their biz and about their numbers and about their conversion. Be a problem solver. It also means, like we talked about earlier today, but understand the space and the sector, understand the jargon, understand their pressure points, understand what's changing. Listen to Jed 15 minutes ago talking about, you know, the moving, in Google's case, to a cost per sale, not a cost per click or lead from that perspective. These are the ever-changing things that we see. A couple of other sort of shortcuts. I'm a big believer in using your automated calendar and or your CRM or your database system, whatever it is you use. Use your calendar as your friend. You know, if Mary says, hey, call me back in 2 weeks, tee up, you know, Mary on your automated calendar in 2 weeks so that it pops up on that Tuesday. You don't have to think. I like to, you know, the term, don't make me think, make it easy for me. I never want you juggling the minutiae, the small stuff. If you've got an ad agency that you want to keep, you know, in touch with every 30 days, calendar it on the 15th of the month or calendar it on the first Wednesday of every single month with a little pop-up reminder so that it's in front of you to remember that that agency represents three big campaigns that you want. Or maybe the news that somebody is leaving their position on the 15th of next month and you're going to put something on the 16th to see who stepped in and took their ad buying role. These are all those little shortcuts that we talk about behind the scenes. Another biggie, fast, immediate access to your email and sales templates. I cannot stress enough this piece. I like those selling and sales templates centralized with a media group, centralized that they're easily accessible, updated frequently so that they're current. Then we go in and start to turn the diamond 2 degrees, and we're excited because we've got a new campaign for this month so that it's not the same old, hi, it's me again, you want to buy an ad. You know, this is where we keep it fresh and we keep it moving forward so that the ad buyers see us in a different way. Okay, so having a quick access to your email templates, they're centralized, you share them as a group, and then you keep growing those out so that you continually have new campaigns and a new way to approach your advertisers, your agencies, and the prospects within the marketplace. Jed, any comment or observations on those initial points about staying fresh and green and growing?
No, I mean, I think they're all excellent excellent ideas, and many of which I should do myself. So I think they're very good suggestions.
you know the part about our selling and sales templates, I just don't like to keystroke anything twice. If I've got it and it's in a central place, for example, within our Power Hour team, we've got a whole host of centralized tools that we utilize and that we are constantly improving and everyone can access. And it makes it effortless to go get what you need, and that what you need is there and waiting. You don't have to go keystroke many of the things that we do sort of day in, day out. And the same for those in the media ad sales space. Another piece,
right?
Watch your buying time versus selling time. We've talked about this both here in our teleseminars and also in our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. Buying time and selling time. Buying time is when someone can buy an ad from you. It's generally defined as what? 8 to 5. Be careful what you do in there. In order to stay fresh and be fresh, don't find yourself bogging down, you know, in an hour prep for a renewal that you could have done before the day started or at the end of yesterday. Think about that your selling time is 24/7, round the clock. At any time round the clock, you can be working on a renewal strategy or diving in, taking a look at an advertiser or preparing for a big meeting with an ad agency, but that's 24/7. You could only sell in the 8 to 5. So if you're doing something in 8 to 5 that is not directly speaking to a prospective advertiser or in a meeting, you know, face-to-face in person, if you're not doing that, ask yourself why. even when we think about windshield time, talk about burnout. You sort of pause and go, gosh, I ran two meetings, but I drove 100 miles, you know, or I sat in traffic for how long? I mean, how did you think about it? And how did you build your day? Those are the things that wear us down. Those are the things that mean we lose the freshness and the crispness in our ad selling. So think about that. It was a little thing that we did for a week, Jed, called Lights Out, Chairs Out. I was working with my sales team in California, and we did one full week, Lights Out, Chairs Out. 8 o'clock, lights went down, and chairs rolled out of offices, meaning if you're in your office, the point was, I can't really see very good, and I don't even have a chair to sit. I better not get comfortable. Where is my calendar, and how come I don't have client meetings or prospect meetings? You know, and it was a very interesting exercise, and the team came out of the week going, holy smokes, I got more done and was more productive than I ever realized and imagined, and that was the point related for that. Now, another piece, too, about staying fresh. In order to prepare for today, the preparation for a successful today began at the end of yesterday. We call this herding the sheep. And herding the sheep simply means that when you wrapped up yesterday, you sort of paused and say, what were all the things I got done? What were the promises and follow-up and follow-through that I need to do that I promised that I would do? Great. Now let me look at tomorrow. Let me anticipate today what's happening tomorrow. And what that means is that we end our day better organized, feeling better about the day, knowing what our plan is going into the following day. But there's another psychological component, and that is that the medical research that talks about going to sleep happier means we wake up happier. And you might go, wow, that's a reach. I thought we're talking about ad sales. We are. But when we go to sleep and we don't have something hanging over, or we don't know what we're going into tomorrow, we have more stress and more anxiety just simply because we don't know what's coming. So words of encouragement to stay fresh and be fresh. Use today, use this afternoon or this evening when you wrap up your day to ask yourself, what are the key points that I need to have happen tomorrow? What's the prep that I need done? Let me go even another day out and see if there's a big meeting 2 days from now that I need some preliminary work done tomorrow, and who can help me with that, or what do I need in order to pull that together. That's a really key piece, and we've seen incredible success from that. For those of you who already do it and deploy it, you know what we're talking about. For those that you don't, it's an opportunity, which also syncs up with scheduling and booking planning time in our calendar. So where do you put in your calendar a scheduled appointment or window of time to work on the renewal that's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or later this week? Scheduling it as a book meeting in your calendar means it's going to happen. It's not catch as can, and it's not like we're cramming for a college final at midnight. You knew, a week ago that you had a big meeting tomorrow with that big agency for a big sale or a big renewal, or a big opportunity with a new prospect. Whatever it might be, the point is book in your calendar that planning time as a scheduled appointment. Okay, and then last but not least, we are huge believers in lead sharing groups. And that is a whole teleseminar all by itself. But lead sharing groups mean that we partner with others in our space and sector, and we share news, we share trends, we share leads, we open up introductions. In the simplest form, lead sharing groups mean an endless stream of leads and referrals. It's as though others who are in your lead sharing are part of your sales force, but not on your payroll. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's another key piece to think about from that perspective. Okay? So lead sharing groups is another part of keeping it fresh, staying current with what's happening in your space and sector, and an opportunity to see the marketplace in a whole nother perspective and point of view. Okay? Jed, any additional thoughts or comments? We've covered a lot of ground here as we're coming up on the top of the hour. Any other perspectives or points about staying green and growing and continuing to keep things fresh?
You covered a lot. I guess if there's one thing that I would add, it's just you know, one of the things that I think is really fun about ad sales is, you know, you get to talk to people from businesses, from all types of businesses, and, you know, big and small, mm-hmm. and people who are experts and people who aren't, and I think that by engaging them in conversations about their business and about their industry, you know, you learn an enormous amount. You know, you might even learn things that that don't directly apply to that conversation. You know, or you know, if you're talking to someone who's a plumber, you know, it might, you know, things you learn may apply when you're talking to a carpenter or a florist. I mean, who the heck knows? But the point is that by engaging people in conversations about their business and learning about their industry, you know, I think it makes us much better salespeople and just much better at our jobs. You know, I think that's a really important part of all of it that really can keep things fresh because you're learning about big things that are going on in other industries that an average person wouldn't normally know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're talking about both active listening and then the other sort of hummingbird effect. You know, go back to selling ads to RV dealers, right, Jed? You know, if you look at the LinkedIn profile of most ad buyers, maybe they've worked for three or four dealers in the last decade. You talk to three or four dealers before you've had your first cup of coffee. You talk to, 10 dealers before lunch. And you hear the best of the best. You hear the fears. You hear the strategies. You hear what's working, what's not. From purely a marketing perspective, in the span of a month or 3 months or 6 months, in dog years, it's like 50 years of insight. In fact, you have so much information. That you've got ad buyers coming to you going, you know, hey, Jed, what do you think? Or, hey, Jed, what's the pulse in the market? And, hey, Jed, do you think this will be a good idea? If suddenly you find yourself going, gosh, I thought I was the ad sales guy. No, you're like Switzerland, Jed. You're talking to all the RV dealers, you know, so what's going on? What's the news? You know, and so it does come up this way. So the point is what Jed is saying is part of what keeps us fresh is that we're out in the marketplace listening to leaders from big companies and small companies, listening to marketers. Results, like Jed was talking about, where it's working or it's not. These are all the things that along the way, those layers of knowledge, if you're actively listening and then sharing it collectively within your ad sales team, you're learning at an incredible pace and rate. And those are words of encouragement, even for those of you who are joining a new team or haven't been in ad sales maybe as long, that it doesn't take long to get up to speed. Very encouraging and certainly another opportunity to stay fresh and invigorated in our space, in our sector, and in the world of ad sales. So, Jed, thank you so much. And as we're coming up on the top of the hour, thank you so much to all of you, each of you, for joining us live. We have more than 10 years of educational programs at the MediaBits site. We encourage you to go listen to those. They're available for you 24/7. And certainly, thank you so much for joining us live. We appreciate it. For those of you who work with MediaBids, you know the incredible service they provide. For those of you that have not or are not, take a look at their site, MediaBids.com. And then in exchange, take a look at our site, PowerHour.com. You'll see our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. We'd love to have you join us. The only difference between what we do here and the Academy is that on the Academy on Tuesdays, we field your questions live. They're focused on the topical area, but we interact with you and field your questions on that topical area. So, Jed, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we look forward to our next opportunity. Jed, how about some closing words before we wrap up here?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much to Ernest. Thanks to everyone who joined us. We appreciate it, and if you have any questions about MediaBids or would like to get in touch with Ernest, we send out a follow-up email. Feel free to respond. We look forward to speaking to you in a couple months.
Beautiful. Thanks, everyone, and thanks, Jed. Always a pleasure working here together. Take care.
All right. Thank you very much.